Hey y'all, this is Epiphany and welcome to Voice and Vine, a quiet space for the word to grow in you. Come and join me. So today I'm going to talk about something that I know a lot of people have dealt with in the past and are still dealing with, no matter your background, your social status, your financial status, your race, or where you are in the world. A lot of us deal with mommy or daddy issues. Perhaps you felt unseen or unchosen, or simply that something was just missing in the love you received. And so the question is, where do we find true, unwavering, perfect parental love and an unshakable sense of purpose, even when earthly relationships, no matter how well intentioned, fall short? So today we're going to explore some powerful truths from scripture that reveals God's intimate involvement in our lives from conception, his ultimate adoption of us, and his divine purpose for our existence. This isn't just a theory. This is foundation for truly understanding who we are and silencing the whispers of doubt. Now, let's be honest. The pain of feeling abandoned, neglected, misunderstood, or simply not being fully seen by our parents is real, okay? And it's like deep. And we have to acknowledge that. We don't have to breeze past by it. We don't have to act like it's not there. It's real. And I know of people who are elderly and still dealing with mommy daddy issues. And so this isn't about like pointing fingers or blaming our parents, but just acknowledging the human condition and the longing for something more. Psalm 27:10 is really where this episode stems from. The Lord kind of helping me through my own personal mommy daddy issues and seeing things in a way that I hadn't before. And he gave me some clarity. And so that's what I'm sharing with you. And so Psalm 27:10 says, "Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord cares for me." That's the CSB version. The Amplified version says, "The Lord takes me up or adopts me as his child." Now, this verse isn't diminishing the ideal of healthy earthly families, nor does it like imply literal abandonment for everyone. That's not the case. It's just speaking to the human conditions where parents, being imperfect, can and do fall short, just like me and you, and meeting all of our deepest needs for love and security. Nobody can do all. Okay, this scripture really gives voice to me, or like it puts into words that deep human longing for a parent who doesn't forsake us, but one who is always there and who's always welcoming us with open arms. So let's talk about the part where it says the Lord cares for me, or he's taking me up and adopting me as his child. This isn't just a temporary shelter, but a profound act of divine adoption and embrace. It signifies God drawing us into his very being and family, an intimate, loving, and trustworthy daddy. Okay? So Romans 8:15 says, "For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." And Galatians 4:6 says, "And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." This Abba is the perfect dad, daddy, pops, who perfectly fills the gaps earthly parents just can't, despite their best efforts. They just often just they can't provide it like God can. So just imagine yourself, if this is you as a lost child, feeling utterly alone, than being found and welcomed into a home where they are cherished as if they were always meant to be there. God is the ultimate welcoming parent. Now let's move from God's remedy for potential parental gaps to his original intention and intimate involvement in our very beginnings. Our worth and belonging aren't just a reaction to abandonment. They are establishing, or they are really, they were established before we ever even took a breath. And one of the words in Psalm, if you read it, is Selah. And although, you know, we're not 100% sure what it means, scholars or, you know, biblical scholars think it means pause, or calmly think of that. And so I really want you to pause and really think of that. That his original intention and intimate involvement in our very beginnings were established before we ever took a breath. They're not just a reaction to us being abandoned. Now, Psalms 22 says, I was given over to you at birth. You have been my God from my mother's womb. Now, the Amplified Version says, I was cast upon you at birth. You have been my God from my mother's womb. Now, while Psalm 22 is a powerful prophetic psalm speaking of Christ's reliance on the Father, even in his suffering, its message resonates deeply with our own foundational relationship with God. This verse speaks to the fact that this relationship isn't something that we initiated. It truly was an act of divine care and trust from birth. So the imagery of being given over to a cast upon denotes total dependence and God's unwavering support from my earliest moments. From my mother's womb, you have been my God is an incredibly powerful statement that establishes a pre-existing divine connection. And this is where, you know, as I'm reading this in my Bible study time, I'm thinking about, okay, this is giving me Psalm 139 vibes. And I feel like this is where Psalm 22:10 finds an even more profound explanation, and where we see the meticulous care of God. And so Psalms 139:13-16 says, for it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me even when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. For me, these verses, these scriptures are like the foundation for me understanding my inherent worth and belonging before I even had any human interaction that could have messed me up, and just made me feel inadequate or less than. This predates all that. Okay, he didn't just create me. He didn't just create you. He knit all of us together, an act of meticulous, deliberate, and loving design and craftsmanship. It makes me even think about like agriculture, and I've talked about that on previous episodes, just how studying agriculture has really helped me see just how meticulous and creative and so intentional God is. As a reminder, some versions say remarkably and wondrously made, and some say we are fearfully and wonderfully made. It all means the same thing, and it's all his design. So before any human, again, could ever make us feel unwanted, unseen, or unloved, God had already declared us wonderful. And he had a perfect blueprint, a perfect set of plans for our lives. Our worth and identity are rooted in his divine creation, not in human affirmation, likes on Instagram, friends we have at church, the amount of friends we have at work. It's not rooted in none of that. Is rooted in his divine creation. Okay? He truly saw our unformed bodies and he had already ordained our days. He knows the numbers of hairs on our head, y'all. This speaks to a divine purpose and a sense of belonging that comes before any wounds. I think I've kind of drilled that in here. And so I want you to say it with me, because this is what I said in my journal entry about this. And it is this, like a personal affirmation rooted in his word and not other things. And it is that my identity is in the one who is the great I am. He knows me intimately, and that is where my true self is found. Again, a personal affirmation. You can put it on your mirror, your screensaver. I don't know, whatever you want to do. But for me, when I was writing and reflecting on this during my Lectio Divina practices, my identity is in the one who is the great I am. He knows me intimately, and that is where my true self is found. So I hope that helps you. So now let's transition a bit. So for those of us who have experienced parental issues, another question we have is, you know, well, why am I here? What is my purpose? And that can seem overwhelming. And again, if our worth isn't fully affirmed, for some of us, it's like, how do we even know our purpose? And so one of my favorite scriptures is John 15:16. And Jesus is saying, you did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit, and that fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Now let's talk about the "you did not choose me, but I chose you" part. This powerfully reinforces the theme of divine initiation. We didn't start this relationship. He did. This isn't a reaction, again, by God, based on our merit or anything we earned. It is his design, his sovereign intention, and unconditional love. You were chosen by the creator of the universe. Your existence is not an accident. It is a divine selection for a relationship. And this provides ultimate validation and significance. Now let's talk about the "and appointed you to go and produce fruit that will remain," that part of the scripture. This really directly answers the purpose question. God's choice isn't like arbitrary or random. It is intentional and purposeful. You, me were not just chosen to exist and just be about in the world, but we're here called according to his purpose. And being appointed signifies like a specific commission, a task, a role. Your life has meaning and a direction from God himself. Direction from God himself. That's the source of how we go about God. Bearing fruit really encompasses living a life that glorifies God everywhere we go. Everywhere we are, every person we speak to, it's truly developing a Christ-like character. And we won't go over it, but exemplifying or demonstrating the fruits of the Spirit, as talked about in Galatians 5:22-23. So bearing fruit means we're also using our unique gifts to serve other people, and we're participating in his kingdom work. The fruit that will remain speaks to eternal significance, countering any feelings of aimlessness, just being out here in the world, not knowing where to go, what to do, and just being meaningless. And so the last part of that scripture, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This highlights the powerful assurance that comes with being chosen and aligned with God's purpose. When we are living in his divine appointment, we're on his commission, not our mission. We have direct access to Abba Father. And our prayers are powerful because they are in alignment with his will for our lives. And this truly I've experienced this for myself. It does bring confidence and it does remove anxiety about navigating this life alone. He doesn't want us to do it alone. Now, while our earthly families are vital and ordained by God, they are imperfect and temporary in their current form. God's family is perfect and eternal. And this is the ultimate answer to any lingering mommy or daddy issues. And it's our adoption in Christ. Ephesians 1:5 says, he predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ for himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, going back to Romans 8:15-17, we're going to expand it a little bit. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. That's the end of Romans 8:15-17. We aren't just taken in. We are adopted as full heirs with all the rights, privileges, and love due to the beloved children of God. This is secure. He's not going to take it back, and it's not conditional. Okay? We all fall short. We slip up. We repent, turn to him. That's what unconditional really is. And so our adoption is fixed in him. Now, I'm not going to go off on the deep end in this, but while imperfect, the church or the body of believers is meant to be a tangible expression of God's family on earth. And it's supposed to be a place of love, support, and belonging where we can practice healthy relationship and experience his love through others. Now, keep this in mind. Well, I'm not going to go off on the deep end, but it's important to be connected with other believers in the body of Christ, because this is our kingdom family we're talking about. So Ephesians 1-5, Romans 8:15-17, we're all in the kingdom family doing kingdom work, living according to his purpose. And again, this is a place where we can practice these relationships, fall, learn, get our iron sharpened, so to speak, and truly experience God's love and care for us through others, right? And even, you know, there are some people who have church hurt, which I'm not going to get into, but there's a benefit there. And going back to agriculture, I think about when I was learning about just the ecosystem and all the symbiotic relationships and certain species of plants being in community, right? And, you know, especially like imagine a forest and you see all of these trees. Well, all of these trees are in nature. If no human has come in and did something different, they're a community of trees. They're they're same species, like species, right? And so the significance of being in community, okay, with other like species or believers, or in this case, the trees, I was learning about like pests and how these trees can signal to one another above ground and below when they're under attack, pretty much. And they can alert other believers to warn them so they can do whatever it is they do by God's design to protect themselves. And it just goes and spreads into the community in the other direction versus them being vulnerable and susceptible to these pests. And so anyway, I'm saying all that to say, even the trees, y'all, even the way God designed, meticulously, deliberately crafted the trees, protecting his creation in that way, being in community has benefits. And so being in a body or a group of believers is significant. And so we're adopted and we're co-heirs. You are not the only heir. I am not the only heir. We all are. And that's the point. And I went off on the deep end. Didn't mean to do that. So circling back to the main point, the meat and potatoes, saying all of that to say this, no matter what your earthly experience with parents has been, you have an ultimate, perfect, and unwavering parent in God. He doesn't change. We do. He don't. You are known, loved, and you belong to his forever family. And your life has a divine purpose because he chose you. This is your identity in Christ. So for those hurting, bring your pain, your questions, and your longing to God. He understands and receives you fully. For those seeking belonging, know that you are already chosen, intimately knit into his story, and adopted into his eternal family. For everyone, embrace your identity as a beloved child of God, fearfully and wonderfully made, appointed for a lasting purpose, and securely nestled in his forever family. So now that we've grasped and talked about some of these profound truths of who we are in our Heavenly Father's family, the next natural step is to truly understand who he is and what he can do. Because the God who adopts us, who knit us and chose us, is a God of unimaginable power and absolute sovereignty. And understanding his might will shatter any remnants, any remaining doubt of our secure identity and purpose. So join me next time as we dive into Psalm 29 and explore the majestic power of the God who says, I am. All right, y'all. You've been listening to Voice and Vine. As you go, may the vine keep you and may his voice grow something new in you. Brothers and sisters, until next time, abide, speak, bear fruit.